because usually at the end of these tables they have like a catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Accessory structure. See?
Okay, good. Perfect.
Permitted everywhere, you know? If it's accessory to the primary TPZ. Use of that property.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If it's the use is TPZ, then whatever buildings you need to carry out TPZ, then you should be allowed
perfect.
To have
those. I just wanted to double check that. Okay. Any others? We've got the fertilizer. Let's see. And then going down, so we allowed mining. Keep going down. I want to just double check
are
that
you
you've
passed 203. No, you're not. You're on page 10. So,
well, so this page 10 is just page 10 of part 5, so we won't match your. It's a Word document.
Yeah.
But I can make
my little 12 isn't the same as your little 10.
So I can go back to this one.
Well,
but this is a PDF. It's harder for us to.
Could you go back to the other one? I'll just catch Jeff up on where you're at.
Yeah, it's easier to modify.
So
the
he's
Word
on yours. He's right here at page 197.
Oh, okay, haven't hit.
Yeah.
So then you got
mining. Keep going down. Pharmaceutical. I just want to, next page, please, speed right. So we made a note for the timber wood processing facility. We were going to do that as a UP.
In TPZ?
Yes.
Okay. And this document will be sent to the consultant.
Perfect.
So they'll have all the changes we discussed.
Yep.
Wait a minute, back up here. Wood processing, what's defined that? Somebody's out there cutting up firewood. Who needs a use permit to go out there and cut up firewood?
No, absolutely, good point. We don't know, that is not my intent.
We talked about
my
it.
Intent is yeah, allow yeah, them yes. to commercially process for like, you know,
building
small
one.
Sawmill.
Right.
But
you look at these commercial guys that are around here, you know, they got log loaders, they got these processors where they can fill up a dump truck in about 10 minutes. And they're taking old dead wood out of off the forest. And they can do it on site of the property they own. They shouldn't have to come get a use permit.
Yeah.
No,
so,
and we wouldn't. That wouldn't be our intention. You're cutting firewood. It's just, you know, because here we're talking about the laminates, and you know, what I mean, I think that's right. You're making it's a
right.
manufacturing plant making 2x4s and stuff. I think that's.
Well, there's a wood processing facility right here out of Wairika.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a portable sawmill, and he totally gets logs, and he's making boards and whatnot. So that's, again, where do you get?
I just want to make sure it's allowed.
What's the dollar amount that is actual commercial? Is that just a sideline that he's running, or is that his permanent business all the time?
I don't think it's, commercial is not defined by the amount of money you make, it's the intent, right?
Yeah, the definition.
You can be in a commercial.
Yeah, the definition.
If you lose money, but.
Yeah, the definition of commercial in timber world is barter, trade, or sale with zero dollar amount. But back to that TPZ, that he does bring up a good point because I don't want, you know, future planning planning department staff to hinder wood production. Rather, it's so technically we manufacture logs out in the woods, meaning we cut a whole log, bring it, they're delimbing it, cutting it to length, and putting it on a log truck. We loosely call that manufacturing, but it's not then creating an end-use mm-hmm. product, except for, to his point, where they're then splitting it into firewood. So then it is an end-use. That we certainly don't want people to have to come get a permit. Like that is just something people need to do by right without any in government. But I think how do we split that hair?
I think I agree with you. You know, if you're cutting wood for your neighbor or you're selling it down the street at that scale, but I think we're talking a giant industrial park where they're seeing trucks coming in right when they're talking wood processing facilities.
But you see that when you're gone. What's the next Mr. Phelps view of this?
That's why maybe we need to, I mean, that's what I see when I read this definition, you know, so we can clarify it. So we could clarify this definition more, you know, but I think most of us in this room, the guy selling firewood at Walmart, we're not going, hey, what's your use permit? Come on, you know?
Yeah.
It's that.
Well, technically, I mean, depending on where they're getting that wood, I mean, the state doesn't always see it that way, I'll tell you.
But no one has the stomach to go to Walmart and be like, hey, you got to move that truck. You know, we're not going to do that. You know?
No.
It's tough, right? You know, it's just, it's that's how it's
maybe we're
been.
Opening a can of worms, but I do see his point. So my intent with allowing to have a permit was so that they wouldn't be discouraged. It would be allowed to have some kind of these boutique sawmill type things to try to allow people the ability to generate revenue off of their timberland. Without, because trucking is so expensive, allowing them to set up shop right on their property.
You could change you could change this definition, you know, to accommodate, you know, to clarify that there's a certain scale involved, and you might have a better definition because you're in the industry. Like, what would be considered commercial scale? You know, if we're talking about, you know, 3-4 quarts, I don't know if that's commercial. You know.
Well, so the definition, in again, this is where my head is a little bit split. So the definition of when you need a permit at the state level is if you are barter trading or selling a commercial wood product. Technically, firewood comes under that. So technically, they're supposed to have a permit. Is it done? Absolutely not.
Yes.
But it is on the books, and there is a form that you check. I'm selling Christmas trees. I'm selling firewood.
And maybe
I want to make sure the county doesn't go down that line, though.
And maybe facility, the word facility is the one.
Commissioner Hart?
All right, I can think of, right offhand, four places where people have started these little businesses. They're either buying logs, or they're going out and cutting log lengths and bringing them back to the properties, and they're either processing it with a chainsaw and a little hand splitter, or they have one of these things got shoot on it like bale, you know, when you put bales in a barn and just fill up a dump truck. There's one right there on 97 that showed up in the last year. And it's a 2-acre lot with a mobile on it, and all of a sudden there's just firewood going everywhere around it. You probably don't want that in a residential neighborhood because that's what that is. You're going to have some control on it, but like, just as an example, let's take what I got. Well, my family owns up there. Mm-hmm. I could go get one of those processors and put up there and just start putting a sign up and say, drive in, here it is. $50 a trip up a pickup load. Just to get rid of it.
So technically at the state level, they would require you to have a permit to do that.
Really?
Swear to God.
California, you gotta love it.
Because it's the definition of timberland or commercial product is barter, trade, barter, or sell of a wood product. And so.
What if I give it away?
You can do that.
You can give it away, you just can't have any remuneration.
Can't call it a trespass fee.
Yeah.
Guide fee, there we go.
I think the definition is crucial. Mm-hmm. I know of three locations in Scott Valley that individuals have small mills set up, and the trees aren't, they can't sell the trees anywhere, so they're bringing them to their location. I think all of them are on AG2. I don't think any are AG1. And I mean, they're milling the trees, and in some cases trading lumber for fuel or whatever,
for beef
or hay or there's a lot of trading going on. I traded a manure spreader for a bunch of 2x12s. Mm-hmm. I think on AG2, as long as the definition is correct, I don't even see a need for an AUP.
Right.
You should be able to do that. But I also understand taking it to that next level where you may be building a permanent
mill or something.
Permanent mill structure. Okay, I get that. But it's the definition on timber wood processing. If it's for private, I mean, you're. Maybe the definition is as long as you are not selling it for retail sale. If you're doing the sale, direct sale is fine. Retail sale, in other words, when it gets to the point where Johnson is selling to Meeks Lumber to then resell it, okay, now we're at a different level.
Yeah.
But if Johnson's selling to Smith, to Fowl, to Hammond, no biggie, go for it.
Maybe this, I just looked this up. So in California, there is the lumber products assessment, because there's fees when you buy wood products in the state of California. The assessment value, they call it a low volume retailer. If your total sales of qualified lumber products in the prior calendar year were less than 25,000, you are not required to collect the assessment. So maybe
that would be the trigger.
Because normally in this state, the resellers of wood products are supposed to collect a 1% fee that then is paid as an additional tax for buying wood products.
County does not have staff to chart that. Let's not. I think we're making it more complicated.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a note to the consultants to like work on this definition, just so our firewood sales, that sort of thing, the items that you brought up aren't captured by this. And that way, that definition will only apply to those large scale operations that we're envisioning.
Okay.
Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, I was going to be perhaps call it bulk sales, although maybe that just begs another definition.
What did you say?
Bulk sales.
Bulk.
I think maybe the term is it would apply to wholesale sales. Because if a mill is selling it wholesale, that by definition implies they're selling it to a retailer who is then going to resell that product. Yeah. And what our firewood and small mill guys are doing are direct sales, which is retail, but it's direct sale to small farm or small mill family mills. Yeah. That's allowed.
Would they have to have a seller's permit to collect sales tax?
Yeah, no. I mean, to do it legally, outside the county, they have to have a business license, they have to have sales tax, they have to pay this. If they sell over $25,000 of wood products, they have to do this state assessment. But that's at the state level. But
the county doesn't want to go there.
But the county doesn't. But just because the county doesn't mean they don't need to be aware. Because this is where we run into an issue with, on the forestry side of things, people getting fined at the state level because they're uninformed at the county level. I know people that have got $30,000 fines for timberland conversion because they were unaware. They were given a county permit, go to work, and then the state comes in and fines them.
That's why I'm saying county should not be involved in permitting that.
No.
Let the individual beware, because one of these mills, heck, Forest Service and Cal Fire rent right next to the mill that he's operating and cutting lumber with, and he's not getting fined.
Yeah. So I just,
if they're okay with it, we should.
No,
okay.
Well, at some level, it's complaint driven.
Yeah.
Or drive by driven.
Yeah.
You know, every politician is proposing cutting regulations, cutting regulations. And then here we go. We're heading.
I'm trying to make it.
I know. I agree with it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to add, I'm trying to make it to where.
If I could ask a clarifying
question.
It's
very simple, but it's not.
You know the portable mills that people have now and people are talking about? What would that fall under? Would that you consider that?
Wood processing facility.
Yeah. So they would need a use permit for that portable mill? Before?
See, I would say no.
That's what I was getting to.
That entire section, I think Ag 1, yes, use permit. But AG 2, in my opinion, should be a P, allowed by right. Or, okay, I could see maybe an AUP.
If it's a large scale.
If it's a larger scale, but I think.
And maybe it's.
It shouldn't be a use permit.
And it is allowed in TPZ. It is allowed by right, but that doesn't mean you don't need another permit. Which is.
Well, and for the portable mills, those are typically done like in addition to something, right? Or sometimes is it a standalone use? Do we want to tie it that way for AG?
Okay, Ms. Lang just brought it up. Add another row
and have it be portable wood processing facility, then AG1 would be AUP, AG2 would be a P, allowed by right, TPZ, P, allowed by right.
Yeah, I like that.
Portable can be our definition because none of those are set permanently.
Right, and it's different than a standalone wood processing because that's the main use. Yep. You have structures, you know, given to that.
Yeah, I like that.
AG2, P.
P.
Okay. And TPZ, P. AG1 would be the AUP.
Okay.
And that would have solved the issue with the project we had down Scott River Road here a few months ago. It would have been, allowed by right.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that fixes everything we just had this discussion on.
Yep.
Yeah, and currently our code is really prohibitive because like anything wood processing is only allowed in industrial right now, which is...
And see, that portable, not to open a can of worms and beat the dead horse, but one of your char facilities is not permanent. It's portable. Boom.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Okay, while we are on this table, I believe we brought it up and discussed it, but this table doesn't show because the you weren't making the red marks, and I like you're doing this. We talked about the welding shop, machine shop, and metal shop. I made the comment at our last meeting that that should be and allowed at least AUP on ag because with...
Should we make another category?
I would just put AUP on AG 1 and 2.
Okay.
Because the direction we're heading in ag, whether you're a farmer, ranch, a lot of them...
Self-contained.
We are vertically integrating, but at the same time, a lot of us are helping out our neighbors
right.
with welding, metal fabrication, etc., because there are fewer and fewer places to go. It's taking it to the level where you're doing just beyond the neighbor, but people mm-hmm. may call you up and bring you a tractor to get it worked on.
And it's not supplanting the primary use.
Right, it's an accessory
Correct.
Use, a supplemental
so
use.
So it should be AUP. Okay. I wanted to make sure that got in there. And then... Where was the other one? In the next table, when we talked commercial feed yard, we had a lengthy discussion.
It was up above. Right there, up bottom of that one.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, so you don't have the changes there. Commercial feed yard on AG1, no.
Right.
AG2,
Wait, no,
should be allowed by right.
Okay. No.
But knowing that whoever's building it may need additional permits from the North Coast
mm-hmm.
Water Board, but by right on AG2, it should be allowed by right.
Okay. So permitted AG2.
Would be, I'd say AG1 AUP.
Okay.
It's possible that it could be a simple, it might be a little piece of AG1 included on the parcel, so an AUP would be appropriate.
Okay.
But on AG2, it should be a P, allowed by right.
Commercial meaning they're taking in outside cattle?
Yep.
And if it's done by themselves, there's no...
Okay.
If you give me 1 minute, I want to confirm
that. That cell for AG2 should be P. I see. You struck out.
I struck it out, so it actually is a P.
Makes sense.
But here's the actual definition to confirm your understanding.
Yep.
And you're good with that definition?
That's a standard definition.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem there.
Scrolling down, is there anything else on this?
Yeah. We had a discussion with the consultants on the next one down, the dairy commercial poultry operation hog farm. Keep going.
Dairy commercial poultry, this one right here? Sir?
Yes.
Yes. We had the discussion that if it's pasture-based, allowed by right, no permit needed, period. And then for confined, realistically, I think it's, once again, a size and scale. It should be an AUP that could be elevated.
Would it be easier to add a second line and do dairy commercial poultry?
That's what we discussed. Yeah. Okay. It's not showing here. I want to make sure that
We can do it right here real quick. Then when they get it, they'll have it. So what was the?
It'd be pasture-based.
Okay.
Dairy, poultry, and hog allowed by right.
Okay.
And then the dairy commercial poultry operation hog farm, it would be more a confinement base.
Okay.
That would be an AUP.
So and it's then pasture the only based dairy, poultry.
Dairy, poultry, and hog.
And hog. And that would be AUP.
P. No, P. Allowed P. by right.
Okay, on both.
AG1 and AG2.
Okay.
Okay.
Then the one above. Confinement, that's how I delineate the two.
Okay.
Because confinement triggers potential water quality issues. That would be an AUP unless the director felt size and scale it needed to come before the commission, but they would still have to get their North Coast water quality permits.
AUP for both?
Yes.
Okay. So how does this look to the commission like this?
That looks like we discussed at the last meeting.
Okay.
Now I know officially it's in the record. So I wasn't seeing the consultants making changes. I feel better with this.
Okay, yeah. We have a ton of notes, too, that we've elevated to them.
I'm going to change this.
Did you have something to add, Carl? Okay. Come on up.
What are you...
Right. Come on up to the
stage. There's a chair
here.
Yeah,
so.
You can sit next to James.
Mr. Phelps, not commercial. Confinement.
Okay.
Confinement.
Yeah, I have confinement here, but it just seemed weird that a dairy, aren't they always commercial? Is there any private?
I'm a commercial ranch also. Even though I'm privately owned, I'm defined commercial as, I
We're
hate
selling.
That word.
You're still selling.
It's just, do we want to see how it says dairy?
I
and
think he's speaking of like home use.
Put confinement dairy,
okay,
poultry
at the beginning.
And hog,
okay,
versus pasture based.
I see. Thank you, sir.
I didn't know
my typing skills were going to be
what?
Tested.
I don't know you have to say what.
Oh, just your name is fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
Carl,
just your name.
Carl Hammond. So what you just added, pasture based dairy poultry, isn't that just regular farming? Like
yes.
That why do we have to?
Under the existing code,
yeah.
What Harris's are doing and what Heffernan's are doing with the hogs technically would require a use permit, even though they're out on pasture.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get rid of that. By right, you can do it.
Yeah.
So when you put that P up there, that means you don't have to go to the county.
It's allowed
by
right.
Yeah.
It's permitted.
And we're trying
entitlements other than like a building permit.
And we're trying to simplify things so that people have rights.
Right. So this that makes more sense. I was like, why are we trying to put something on the books that you should be allowed to do?
Yeah. And a lot of it is just as this body evolves and changes, that our intent with this rezoning discussion is not lost. Because sometimes if you just put dairy, poultry, and hog farm, regardless of scale and size, somebody in these positions like, oh, you have a 4-H animal, now you need a permit.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
Yeah.
This is clear. The discussion before has been really, really good and really open. And I appreciate that.
Good.
I'm just trying to clarify myself as well.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you for being here too.
Yeah.
Okay, so
my next one is on education public.
Oh,
make sure we've caught stuff.
I'm two down. So growing and harvesting of timber, there's a lot of land zoned Ag 1 and Ag 2. That should be a P. So that is permitted. Okay. Okay.
If you scroll down in the first row under education, we had a discussion on this last meeting, but I'll just throw it out there. If you have a ranch that has gatherings, accessory to the ranch operations with equestrian people,
is it considered camp, a campground, glamping, or hippo camp if they are parking their fifth wheel, live-in quarters, horse trailer on the ranch while they're there for a day or two, hooked up to power? Because the county definition of camping is residing in a structure, not on your property. I think the trigger is if they're paying to stay.
Right.
So as long as my guest with a horse is in their living quarters and they're not paying me to park their trailer, I'm good. Okay, I wanted to be clear on that.
Here's our definition up there for campground.
And remember, we're trying to expand definitions, and so there's the distinction between folks coming to a ranch for a night, couple nights, wanting to learn how to ride horses, right? That's accessory to your operation. Right. Versus you have an existing dwelling and it's used as an Airbnb, which is like a commercial,
correct,
you know, stay in.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, of course.
And here's that guest ranch definition as well.
So, I hate stretching this out. Public stable. We don't have a definition for a private stable. So, and the reason I ask this, a public stable would be if I opened up and said, I am a public stable, that means that any Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Jane passing by Highway 3 could pull in and board a horse overnight.
They still have to have your permission.
Right, but then would a private stable be an individual calls me and say, hey, I'm reseeding the pasture where I keep my two horses. Can I board my horses at your place for the next year?
I would say,
sure. Is that a private between two parties and doesn't qualify as a public stable?
I would not include that in public stable at all. That's just a neighbor down the road. It's an ag use.
Okay.
You know, if it's just the primary use is all we do here is house other people's animals, you know, that's our business.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have another question, and this is my horse question. So we had a discussion before that horses, for the sake of having horses, is not a by right on Ag 1. Hmm? Remember we had this discussion? No, that the definition of agriculture didn't include horses.
No, livestock. They're not considered livestock under state law.
But the definition, what was the conversation? Because I was having a little bit of a
they're considered a companion animal in California.
Okay. So, and we had the discussion of like, where does a horse ranch, for the sake of having a horse ranch, go in Ag 1 or Ag 2?
Right. That was at the last meeting, but that was on the conversation of the retirement. Mm-hmm. That is not a horse ranch. That is a retirement facility.
Like a sanctuary.
Okay. As opposed to what John Spencer used to do, or Bruce Oxley, where they had Lizzie Whipple, standing a stallion, have brood mares. They are breeding, foaling, training, selling. That is a horse ranch.
Okay.
It's not.
And is that a definition of agriculture? I want to just make sure that's a definition of agriculture.
With the discussion we had last month, that would be allowed by right.
Perfect. I just want to double check.
But as soon as you're bringing in horses to retire and die,
that's
that
different.
Now
okay.
requires a use permit.
Good. I just want to double check that horses are allowed, because I just double check in that conversation. Okay, good. Because.
What about the guy that's got all the dirt?
Got what?
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
He owns all of them.
No, I know. Right.
So, who's that?
Every once in a while, some leak there, though. So he is selling.
What are you talking about?
I know what you're saying.
Old Stage Road?
Yeah, right off Old Stage.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to get rid of a horse, just take it up to Copco Lake. Turn it out. We'll take care of it.
Dusty.
No, there.
I know.
Isn't there like a whole herd of Mustangs or something?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they come right up to you. They're tame as any horse.
Okay, so I just wanted to double check. Because with some of these definitions and seeing the public stable, and I just want to make sure we're not missing something there. Okay, so we are at hemp cultivation, recreational, educational use, solar farm. We got that fixed on solar farm. Okay. And then we're on the educational, let's see, keep going down. Yeah, good, thank you. Just double checking my notes.
You don't have the notes here on yours where we have the discussion on the school, trade, and vocational.
Yeah, this is the original untouched document.
Right. You do have the notes, though, on there for the AG1, AG2, for AUP, for school, trade, and vocational when we were talking about course classes. I brought up the ROP classes that we used to have on the ranch. That should be allowed, but through an AUP.
Should we just make a category here that says agricultural, school, trade, or vocation? And then you do a AUP?
Yep. Well, we had
the discussion last meeting, right? And in our new draft code, there's a distinction between schools and institutions as like, you know, a primary school, a high school, versus what you're talking about, going to a ranch or to learn how to weld or whatever.
Right. Right.
That is allowed.
Okay, and so that change has been made.
Oh,
okay.
It's in my notes and highlighted.
Good.
Yeah, we
good.
Have that.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And here's the definition.
Right, it's a, you know, high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vice Chair, just tell me when you want me to move to the next page.
I wanted to revisit the scientific study site.
Okay.
Remind me why that's needing a permit. Yep.
So we discussed to strike that. This is an old definition from the old zoning code. I'm not sure what the history or reasoning for that is, but we striked that because, you know, what you were talking about last meeting, digging up any cultural things or whatever, right? That's a part of your operation. You already have to get permits and allowances. That's a part of CEQA too, when we have projects coming before Planning Commission. So it's already embedded in other processes that have to occur. So we're not even going to highlight that. It just,
right?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense for a standalone use.
Yeah, I think that should just go away.
Yeah, so we decided to strike
it.
For that whole category.
Mm-hmm. Unless I'm missing something, but I don't think we need it.
My next question is on the other uses.
Okay.
Which it came to me last night.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, on other uses where it is airstrip / heliport.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of grace here. I'm a big fan of the show Clarkson Farm. The fellow in Great Britain who gave up doing his road racing high performance car TV show and took over his family's 1,000+ acre farm in England. And basically, the show really makes it clear to the public the asinine regulation that is applied to farms and ranches and producing food, and really pokes, stabs, jabs at bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, it is related to when they were under the EU, now they're under England.
Mm-hmm.
But season five just dropped. And I say this because where they're at isn't too far from where we're going to be here in California and ag pretty soon. He was doing a tour of a potato farm in just across the border. It might have been in Belgium. It may have been just across the border. But it was a potato farmer who is using new technology, specifically drones, to spray herbicides and pesticides. It is illegal in the EU to do that unless what he did is he designated his entire farm as an airport. Then he can fly the drones to apply herbicides and pesticides to his crops, which less damage to the crop, it's more efficient, more effective, and it's variable rate application. We in California are employing, we use drones now to apply pesticides and herbicides. What hit me is how long is it going to be before California limits where you can fly drones? And
it's already limited, isn't it?
Well, no. Not, no.
Aren't you permit, don't you have to have a license and permit?
You have to be licensed to fly, but you can fly them basically anywhere unless you're so many feet from an airport or
or your height, yeah.
But it got me to thinking. The issues we have with activist groups, whether they be animal or environmental, basically flying drones to see what you're doing on your property. No one in the state of California legislature is wanting to limit that ability. On the flip side, we may end up getting to the point where you can't fly drones anywhere. As an extreme. So I had the brainchild last night. I woke up about 1 o'clock this morning. I said, there's our solution for protecting private property, farms, ranches, and timber from trespass surveillance by activist groups.
Okay.
Allow farms and ranches to designate as an airport. Now, by law, you can't fly a drone over my ranch legally. Because it is an airport.
They're not supposed to be flying over your ranch anyway because it's your property.
Oh, yes, they can. There is no limitation. None.
Under a certain, and it's funny,
500 feet.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
500 feet's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, with the Google cameras.
You know, what I'm saying is above that they can fly, but underneath that window, they're not supposed to be crossing your property line, right? I mean, for the county ourselves, we never fly over any private property without permission.
Yeah, I mean, I've only looked at it from the perspective of the Fourth Amendment, though, in terms of...
Yeah, it's illegal search and seizure, which applies to the county and to other agencies, but it doesn't apply to private individuals. That's where the kick is. Because down in Central Valley, they've got folks flying drones in dairy barns, in hog facilities, in poultry facilities, doing surveillance to try to sue or create a lawsuit.
Right.
Someone's drone is in my dairy. I'm like, that's, you're trespassing.
I mean, I actually have not looked at that question. So, I mean, I only looked at it from the perspective of code enforcement and Fourth Amendment.
So, and I bring this up partially in jest, but partially in futuristic thinking.
Yeah.
Is it theoretically possible, counselor, for a ranch to have, I guess it would be considered an addition, an overlapping use where I could apply to the state or to the county through an AUP to designate my ranch as an airstrip / heliport, which really, if you think about it, heliport, I've got helicopters that come down and suck water out of the river on my place for firefighting. Paul Sweezy, he had helicopters landing a year ago, two of them for 2 months, filling up and taking off. Technically, that was a heliport.
Right.
Yes, it was during an emergency situation.
Yeah, I mean, that would seem to involve a lot of expertise. and airports, I mean, when I think of converting, recalling a place an airport, then I think, well, now we're talking about FAA.
No, I'm talking airstrip and heliport, because a drone landing, you have to be licensed to fly it. To land it, it's landing on an airstrip. If a helicopter is landing to refill with water, boom, that's a heliport. It's not its primary use, mm-hmm. it's accessory.
Yeah.
And so if I'm using a drone to apply pesticides, herbicides, it's accessory to my ranch operation.
I see what you're
Wouldn't
saying.
Wouldn't FFA get involved in that if you're talking about airstrip and a sock, wind sock? I mean,
through the chair.
Yeah,
You
had an airstrip on it, right? Out there?
I do.
Huh?
Well, my neighbor, yeah.
Your neighbor, that's airstrip.
Yeah.
So as the planning department, we are right now required to review airstrips, heliports, airports, landing zones, really anything through the Siskiyou County Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan. It was last updated in 2000 or 2002. It is really, really outdated, but you know, we're required to look at location, you know, if it's near a public airport, things of that nature. Just for purpose of conversation, it might be something for staff to look into updating related to drones. Because you're right, it's going to keep coming up as an issue in many contexts, and I would assume at some point we will be required to have that in that plan.
And I look at it as a safety issue.
Yeah. Right,
because
well, it's a land use issue.
If I've got Tim Smith flying his drone to spray insecticide on my alfalfa field, I don't want some John Doe public flying his drone
Absolutely.
That could be potentially interacting with that drone, trying to capture that drone doing something and then cause a problem.
Now, Absolutely. Just reading real quick, just doing a quick search, there are laws on the privacy laws of drones, and then the like anti-paparazzi laws are popping up, the triple damages, and they specifically, some of the courts have specifically called out drones as criminal trespass.
But ag land and TPZ are not included in those lawsuits.
Yeah. Well, just look at UPS delivery of packages going to come with drones.
Amazon already doing it.
Yeah.
It's not here, is it? I don't think here, but
not yet.
But my brother in Texas.
So, counsel, that's something that, in all seriousness, if we could take a look, because I know it's coming.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And in Scott Valley, I think, not saying it's going to apply to Shasta also around both of those airports, but like in Scott Valley, you have predominantly farmland, a lot of alfalfa being grown around Scott Valley Airport. And so there's going to have to be some communication as drones get used more and more to apply pesticides and herbicides and insecticides on cropland.
So we're not looking to restrict agricultural use of drones, just outside use of drones over agricultural land?
Both. Okay. Both. Because I can foresee where California is going to be like England and the EU, where enough people are going to get upset about their privacy and drones, where potentially there's going to be a boom. There are going to be only designated areas you can fly drones. Okay. Well, does that then limit my ability to use a drone for ag use?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure it is continued to be allowed in a safe way.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact question. Basically, drones, using them for for over neighboring lands. I'm just not clear on what the question.
I think part of these looking at is like what constitutes trespass of the drone, right?
Well, no. It's a safety issue of whether I am applying or I hire somebody, a commercial fertilizer or sprayer, to come in. like if I were to hire somebody to come in with a helicopter or a biplane to apply pesticides or herbicides on my ranch, that's allowed by right. You don't have to get a permit to do that other than a spray permit from the county. Similarly, with the drones, especially near airports, I'm wondering if we need a designation, whether you be Baroni or Hannah or Johnson or Jenner down around Scott Valley Airport, to have an overlying use as a drone airstrip, because those acres likely are going to be predominantly drone applied amendments, and airport needs to know that, as well as whomever is applying. Obviously, if it's local and it's Tim Smith, yeah, he knows there's an airport there, but you have a lot of outside people coming in
that maybe with
the perspective,
it's a safety issue.
I think that falls under this, right? The airport influence area and the plan that Director Lang was referencing, right? You can't do certain things, you can't build certain ways around in that airport influence area just for the flight paths and stuff. So I think that's what this is covering. It might make sense to, instead of saying drones, do another overlay for ag land that says, you know, for these areas on the mapping, to say what those uses that you want to have, as opposed to saying it's not really an airport, but we're going to call it an airport. You want to make those clear. It'd be better just make another overlay that says,
yeah,
hey.
I wouldn't go as far as saying airport, but an airstrip, mm-hmm. I think is more acceptable, just so there's we have a communication for public health and safety. Because, and we're not too far from it, because we're already having to do our 48-hour public notice, mm-hmm. before we apply anything, no matter how we're applying it. But
so, like, if you had
the method of application is included, that we have to notice the state of California 48 hours ahead of time. We have to, okay, is it going to be via drone, via airplane, via helicopter, or via four-wheel spray rig?
It might make sense to do an overlay just in the mapping that says these parcels in this area of Scott Valley is considered the, we'll have to have a name, some sort of farmland overlay or whatever. But then instead of saying what's required, you can say for this overlay area, if you want to fly a drone that's non-agricultural purposes related to that land, then you need to get an administrative use permit from the county. That way,
it doesn't
restrict agricultural uses, but it prevents overflights and random.
You're following what I'm.
That's saying. What. So maybe we'll do a. We won't make the change here, but we'll put a notice in.
Yeah,
that's
put,
a project.
Put a note and come back with something. I'm just trying to protect ag, but also keep it safe.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be regulations coming.
You know, I'm trying to get ahead of it.
I know. Let me imagine.
And through the chair, just want to note time. It's 11:05. I don't, you know, in case anyone needs to take a break or anything.
Does anybody need a break?
Okay. I can
perfect.
Do a 5-minute quick run out. Or you keep talking and I'll run out.
Okay.
I'll come back.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Too much coffee and water.
Yeah.
Under that, I just wanted to double check the equipment and material storage when you get to.
We're right here.
Okay. So with that, it's permitted. And rightfully so from AG1 and AG2, but it's not in TPZ.
Because you figure a TPZ, right? It's the growing and processing of timber.
No, I understand.
So equipment and materials can always come in because you're logging, you're doing stuff, but you don't want it to be a permanent.
I'm asking what the definition of storage is, because there are times you're going to park stuff there for 6-8 months.
Let's see
without moving it, and I just want to make sure that's a by right.
Equipment storage. Let me look for that.
Okay.